Because I think what you're going to have to do is kind of think back to some of the things that
we even talked about.
Yeah. Well, I know King Perry was one of them. I think you had talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when did you start playing? At what age can you actually recall playing? Not so much professional, but...
I take it easy. My mother, when I was four.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You came from a musical background, mm-hmm. family. Yeah. Anybody else play in your family?
No, it's my mother.
It's your mother. She did a lot of church work?
Mm-hmm. She was a school teacher.
Oh, okay. Where was this?
North Carolina.
Oh, what part?
At that time, Asheville.
Oh, okay. How long, when did you leave Asheville? How old were you when you left from down there?
Asheville, let's see, I'd say probably fourth grade.
Hmm. And did you come to Pittsburgh from there?
No, I went to another town in North Carolina, then to Pittsburgh.
Oh. Did you go to school in North Carolina? Did you go to school here?
Well, I started in North Carolina.
Right. You didn't finish down there, though?
No, I said I went to fourth grade.
Oh, no, that was Asheville.
Then I went to...
In the other city.
I went from Fizzon up to the 8th in Atlantic City.
Oh, okay. New Jersey.
And I went back to North Carolina. See, my dad was a Hebrew Zion minister.
Ah, okay. All right.
Preached in his day.
Yeah.
State town right
there. Yeah. Yeah. So you go where the family goes.
Uh-huh.
When you came to Pittsburgh, what school did you go to up here?
I didn't go to school. I was graduated.
Okay. All right. Did you go to any music schools?
Yeah, 3 years in Juilliard before the war.
Right. Okay.
And of course, the rest of it was after. I went to PMI.
Mm-hmm.
Went to
Philly. Did you?
Went to Philly. Yeah. I went to Central Business College after that. And then of course, I finished piano technicians.
Right. Well, were you, when you got out of high school, were you playing at that particular time?
Yeah.
You were making jobs?
Yeah, in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's when I used to be in, on the road with, let's see who was I with back,
so far back.
I used to go over Virginia Beach.
Right.
Even before.
Yeah.
Guys will be in their 30s. I'm around there
mm-hmm.
playing with them with a violin back in 1936, 37.
Right. Well, were there many were there a lot of black guys working, a reasonable number back in those days, playing on the beach?
Probably were more. See, probably more blacks working in the south than up north here.
Right. When did you join the union?
I came here in 41.
41, you joined. Hence Jackson?
Yeah. Hence, I think Fisher was vice president then. And then I think Jim Baldwin was on the board. And
mm-hmm.
Those were the guys then, Pernell Gibson.
Yeah, Pernell. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, and that's...
Cedric Birch was around at that time.
Yeah, Teddy Birch.
Yeah.
Buford, the drummer.
Yeah, right. When you joined the union as a newcomer into the area, How did they treat you? I mean, were they cordial?
See, I told you before, our first fellows I worked with was Frank and Hildred Humphrey.
Okay.
They had a band.
Okay. You worked with them before.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you stay with them?
About a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I think from them, I went Well, King Perry, because I wasn't prepared about a year before everybody got drafted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
42.
42, because the war was on, right. Can you remember some of the other guys that was in the band with you, in the King Perry band with you?
Oh, yeah, King Perry, there's two or three of them that looked up and went on in the band. See, Willie Cook was in that band, Morris Lane, Sergeant Long. Yeah, yeah. Morris ended up with Together and Do.
Oh. Yeah. And that name, that's the first time I heard that name.
Mm-hmm.
And with Humphreys, when you were with Frank and him, who all was in those bands?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Was Roy Eldridge playing around at that time, or had he?
Yeah, Roy was around, but he had started going
back and forth.
Going out of town. He taught me, still around here.
Right. What about his brother, Joe? Was Joe playing? Some?
Mm-hmm.
When did you make your connection with Stan Seebeck and those kinds of
things? Well, we have to go back before that. You see, when I came back from World War II, in fact, I hadn't been out in the Army 3 or 4 days. I don't know how you found out I was discharged, but see, I had a telegram from Leroy Burr.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came back, and we started the Hollywood Showboy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we stayed down in this first black band
downtown
anywhere.
Yeah.
And we stayed there as the house band 2 years.
Right. Was Alan Saunders playing bass with you?
Alan played with us for a while.
For a while.
Yeah, Alan, Calvin King.
Right, right.
Was the guitar. And
who's the drummer?
The drummer was called him Pooha. Lived on Fifth Avenue. Wait a minute, Anderson.
Bobby Anderson.
Bobby Anderson.
Right. Okay. Because he left and went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that band stayed together for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I left them for a while. After they went down to Murders downtown, and went doing some work around Philadelphia, and that's when I went on the piano technician school.
Right. Well, when you were, did you do much other work, like cabarets if you were working steady location downtown? Was that six nights a week?
Six nights a week.
Okay, so
and a matinee on Monday,
So you didn't have time to do any other miscellaneous things.
No. See, Leroy, even when you got finished work, more than probably any band in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So, off and on, I guess I spent about a good 20 years with associated. Seebeck, I started with him about 57, 58, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, long before the merge. Yeah, same. Although the talk about it was going on at that time,
Well, Seebeck and I were good friends.
We were friends.
From the Board of Education.
Okay.
Yeah. See, he had charge of purchasing all main instruments for the school board.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there any other blacks in the band with you? You were the only one. Yeah. Okay. Because usually there's one. Very rarely is there two, and it's, I mean, you never see three. You know what I'm saying? But how did you phase into working with him? I mean,
Seebeck,
from Leroy's.
Well, Seebeck, as I said, he knew me from Duke, Indiana. I used to do the work for the school board. And so we got to be friends that way. So And something happened. I forget his piano player either. They had to move out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And
then Leroy wasn't doing that much.
Leroy at that time, you know, about that time had his operation, I believe.
Okay, yeah, because see, I know in 51 when Ruby opened the Hurricane, and I played through the winter.
All right, see, the last time, my last big job I did with Leroy, we opened up Crawford Girl number 2.
Okay, right.
See,
right.
Before that, I wasn't an organ player.
Sammy Nolan?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, and then. Real, which is like a barn, mm-hmm. And then,
right.
And we opened up, stayed there a year, and then he remodeled, and we stayed another year. Mm-hmm. I imagine we stayed there longer than any
other band. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because most times they wouldn't have them continuous.
No.
You know, you'd go in and out.
Yeah.
You know.
No, we stayed during the time we were there. It was 6 nights, and it was packed every night of the week.
Yeah, that was a heyday of the Grill.
Yeah. Now, some of the things that might have been interesting with Leroy on Show Bar, they used to bring in guests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And stay there for 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. I think we had...
doing a show with them.
Yeah, they played with us.
Right.
Jack Teagarden, Rick Stewart.
Yeah. So lost,
see the tenor saxophone, Ben Webster.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little jazz, he
mm-hmm.
came in.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That was a good way to expand. Did you, your years at Juilliard, were you studying classical?
When I went in for arranging composition.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, any music you have to study.
Yeah, that's
classes, but not to perform.
Right.
But see, I had to leave there, so I never did get a chance to finish.
Finished, right.
So when I came back, I got more interested in the piano technology,
right.
Which I'm glad I did. I'm still making money today.
Mm-hmm.
On it.
Mm-hmm. When you were, okay, back in the days when you and Brown, you were working down at Markers and those places, were there many black people that would come into the clubs as patrons?
Oh.
Couldn't do it.
Just a handful.
Yeah.
Just a handful.
And almost like a select handful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it wasn't your offer to stop in and have
uh-huh.
a beer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Was the treatment from the proprietors and managers of the bars, were they?
No, even back then mm-hmm. when the band, they had a room, they couldn't, they weren't supposed to fraternize,
right.
They did.
Right.
Although, Patrons. You know, knowing Leroy as he was, that's where most of the clubs were in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, there were another time that Art Barnes had a job.
Okay.
He went to place downstairs underneath one of the drugstores, I remember. And he had a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to go in there for 2 weeks. And the white guys' union didn't park the door, but they went and got the union from the bartenders and the
right, yeah, stuff. Bellmans and waiters.
Yeah.
And
stuff.
And they did it.
Yeah.
Because he came from 471.
Yeah.
Was there much static? I mean, in terms of Leroy working there, did you get much static from 60 in terms?
No.
Of,
no, there wasn't static.
Yeah.
I think it was because Leroy was well.
Yeah.
Entrenched, you know, with.
Right.
471 and.
Right. And then probably it could be, you know, the way he carried, the way the band presented itself and the reputation of the...
Yeah, well, the band, you know, back then, our uniforms, you know, the suits.
Right.
We had all the same suits,
yeah,
and then
right.
on the weekends, we played in tails.
Right. Oh. Not just playing tuxedo, you played tails. Right. Yeah. When did that dress code or that idea of dress, when do you think that kind of faded away? Because it got to the point, because I know when I first came in 48, 50, those early days, I know, you know, it was shirt and tie, you know, suit, yeah. And you look good, but then it...
I think what I can remember, Chuck, is probably in the 60s.
Okay.
They just started getting this casual. So the guys came in, you know,
no tie, open, yeah.
Stuff and all that stuff. But still, that was only in the groups that smaller.
Right.
The big band still
no,
is.
The big band, right.
And till today, I don't like it.
No.
I don't even like seeing the guy playing for the old Johnny Carson show now.
Oh, Seventh.
Yeah.
When did you start the organ?
I started to play the organ. Basically, my teacher that I had in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I remember the play the organ. Mm-hmm. I started getting interested in it back even then when I was about 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because he carried me up to the convention hall in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have never seen that organ close up, but that organ is the largest in the world. That was a 7 manual, which, you know, is a 7 keyboard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't even reach the top keyboard standing up.
Yeah.
But you can imagine those pipes went all the way around that whole block of the convention center. Mm. And I remember him telling me that that organ could never be played at its full capacity. If it was ever played before, it would vibrate that building.
Yeah. Have you ever been, you know, Westminster, the Presbyterian Church on Route 19, you know, just below Southfields Village?
Oh, yeah.
You been in there?
Yeah.
Now that organ, because after they remodeled, because that's one of the rehearsal bands that I'm in, and we did a Christmas affair with them, and because pipes is all around, and I forget how much money they said that organ cost.
Oh yeah, they cost.
That's expensive. Yeah.
Back
to King Perry days. Did you do any was that like a territory band? Did you travel, go out of the city and?
King Perry was out of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, his name, my real name, is Oliver Perry.
Okay.
And his name King Perry. He was noted clarinetist.
Mm-hmm.
Noted around Chicago area, but when I first got a call with him, I was down visiting. And where the Sweethearts of Rhythm came from, down in Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
So that school called Piney Woods, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a telegram from him, my uncle, and see all my people from North Carolina, all over the place. Telegram came to my uncle, said he had this job, wanted to know could I join him in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Well, at that time, so we did, and that's when we played the Cotton Club. Mm-hmm. See, back in them days, the Ferguson brothers had two clubs.
Yeah, Linton Garner, there's some names on there, and the address is the Cotton Club in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few.
Yeah, it's Cotton Club. Yeah, right. Bernard Brown, huh?
Yeah, Bernard Brown, some of them guys, mm-hmm. and there's a couple of names.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, there's a few names.
Yeah, well. See, that's what I say.
Was that like, what would you stay there for like a month or 2 or 3 weeks?
No, we stayed there.
Yeah, it doesn't come apart.
Yeah. We stayed there about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
But then we'd move on to Indianapolis.
Okay.
Sunset Terrace,
right, yeah. Right. What's the band out of there?
Yeah, so he had a lot of players out of Chicago, some out of Detroit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was the only one of them. Around.
From Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right.
And the band came here. I can't remember. There was a club out your way. I think it burned down before you hit the Bellevue. There was a big club on the left going out.
Colonial something. Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah, I know where it was. Yeah.
Because on King Prairie, when we came here, that's where we had a job, and that guy, and it was broadcast every night from there.
Yeah.
And that's when guys started getting hit with these notices from the Army.
Okay, draft. Yeah.
That broke that band up,
right?
Right. Practically here.
Okay. Well, did any other Pittsburgh guys, you know, get with that band with you? Well, you were the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Did you do any other traveling with anybody else, like on just a territory thing like that?
No, I didn't get into that because most of the stuff I've always gotten is, like you did say, Seabag.
Mm-hmm.
We did the country club stuff.
Right.
And I did that last 20 years.
Yeah, that's it.
Strictly.
Right.
20 Concordia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Rolling.
Right.
Out in Ligonier.
Yeah. Rolling Rock and all that. Because I remember one of the meetings, I think it was at Joe Westray's, I believe. And I remember, because there was something that you, because you made some kind of a speech and you mentioned Stan Seebeck's name, because I didn't know, I didn't know about him, but I mean, there was something was going on in some kind of way, and you were explaining something about how they operate, because that was my, when I joined an ad hoc committee, I thought, because my dealings with Doc, I thought I was trying to enlighten the guys as to how Joe Marone in particular, because I was working for him, you know, and how they do, because, you know, yourself, you go on a job, you pack up, you go home, and a couple weeks later you get a check in the mail, and whatever necessary deductions and the proper monies or everything is taken care of, you know, and then later on you draw your pension.
That's exactly what's happened to most of our black musicians and me.
They don't know anything about that.
In fact, even now, a lot of them are still working on the table.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'll venture to say right now, 80 to 85% of the guys that are playing will never get any kind of pension money. I don't want to say 90%, but it's closer to 90% because they don't know. I was talking to Albert Aarons Tuesday night. I managed to kind of hook up with him again. And he was telling me, because of his television work and the movies and recordings and whatever, he says he gets a nice pension and his Social Security. So now it's like you say, you know, you work when you want to work.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to knock yourself out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes I hate to even talk to the guys around here because they don't understand the pension program.
Well, not only look how many of them even lost out that didn't have insurance when they died.
Yeah.
They didn't have any of their own.
No.
And it didn't sound, $1,000 don't sound like much, but
for your union dues, that's all it would cost you.
Yeah.
Well, Nate Harper, when he died, he wasn't covered. And that surprised me, although when I think about Walt, then I can understand it.
Yeah.
You know. But there was a situation where, because Vince, one day I happened to be down at Union, and this was maybe two months or so after Nate had passed, and Vince mentioned it to me. He said, he wasn't even financial, when he died. And because that was one of the selling features that I was trying to persuade the black guys. I mean, for no more than that, you know, pay your dues and stay in the Union.
And that's one thing I have to give all a lot of the younger fellas come on at was hated George Childress. But George did more to help the black young musicians. He stayed in those clubs.
Yeah. Controlled. Got the proper monies.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense even today when I see young musicians as a really jobs they'd be paying at least $60-$70
At least, right.
$35-$40
And Marcus Kelly used to make a comment about, well, I wasn't doing nothing anyway. But that's not the attitude to take.
No.
You know, because as soon as Matt, and the Crawford Grill is a good example, as soon as management knows that you'll play for that kind of money, that's where they're going to keep it. They're not going to pay you proper money.
Now, I'll give you a good thing. Bass was still living, man. He could tell you the same thing. And 2 years, he played with Leroy at the Crawford Grill. I forget what the scale was.
But you didn't make scale. You paid you. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he got off with the, what's called a C scale then.
Right.
But in the meantime, with that little bit of money he's paying, Leroy, after he got finished with a job inside, he wanted to buy a new car, I think it was. Well, he hadn't been turning in any
tax money.
So he turned in that he'd worked, you know, 2 years in the river. And we looked up, all of us. We had to pay back with the penalty and interest almost more than we made in 2 years in the river.
I got caught on a deal down there when we had the Apollos and their group, Doc and Horace Parlor and Spider. We had worked in the grill, but it was a co-op thing, and I was the one that signed the contracts. So the grill, the few, I don't even recall how many times we were in and out of the grill, but by my name being on the contracts, the grill was audited. And then they came up with this thing, and I got called down, and you know, because the money was paid to me. You know, but we worked it out. I mean, the guys could understand that. But did you... did you play like much in East Liberty on Frankstown, you know, like in the other clubs and things?
Yeah, well, when I was still a Leroy, you know, we were when the York Club first started, we did quite a bit playing there. And,
Tom Ficklin, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tom Ficklin.
Right.
And I even did a lot of, you know, one night as the old El Cabana Club.
Right, back in the pocket.
That's back when, I ask a lot of the young musicians now, they know, and a lot of them never even heard of Horse Collar.
Yeah, right. Saxman player, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, tenor sax.
Tenor sax, yeah. Because I heard of him, but I don't think I really can't recall, you know, hearing him play and all that, but I remember the name, you know, and Pruitts, you know, Carl and Les. I remember hearing about those guys in Orlando. The tenor player, what was his name? Orlando Wright, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think that was his name. But some of those guys back in them, you know, in the early days. Did you, and you've always had a daytime job. You've always had a source of employment, right? Some guys get caught up in the fact that believing I'm a musician, that's all I want to do.
No, sir.
I mean, there's...
In fact, you can't even do it in New York City now.
Yeah, it's hard all over. And maybe a band leader can kind of make it, because if he's getting and cheating, you know, not paying the guys, you know, maybe he can kind of...
Yeah.
It's not a good living, but he can survive off of it.
No, they were shrewd. Some of the ones who did that were shrewd to... putting money we're getting invested properties and stuff, and we know who we're talking about.
Okay. But you know, and it's funny because now some of the younger guys are carrying that same idea a little farther, because they're saying that some of the monies that was collected from them from dues and their work dues and so forth and so on helped to enhance that real estate venture.
Yeah, they never turned it in.
They never turned it into the Federation. Well, when did per capita was that per capita for the union? How long ago, when did that come into play? Were we supposed to have been doing that at 471?
Yeah, well, it seemed like to me, started hearing more about the cabinet back when started hearing that name really when Stoney Gloster
was president.
Came in as president.
Okay. So and, that's mid-40s.
Yeah. Because okay. The you know, naturally the national right. Pressure on the
right.
Local.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the name, I mean, I don't.
We'll put it this way, mm-hmm. as long as the bands, I mean our bands, or mm-hmm. black bands, mm-hmm. stayed down the hill
yeah, yeah.
in East Liberty.
Right. They didn't know the word.
But when we finally got several right. bands, just like Honey Boy, he
right.
went downtown, mm-hmm. and then we started getting you know, the other Earl Diamond
right.
Brothers.
And, right.
And then we started branching yeah. out.
Right. Then that's when the pressure was applied. Mm-hmm. As long as you stayed up in your area.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't, yeah. Because I see,